Okay. And just to give you an idea of the tolerance level, actually, no, that's not right. I shouldn't say that. It's not an issue of tolerance among most of Americans now. It's an issue of simple acceptance. They're not fighting back. I haven't seen anyone out with a placard, no demonstrations, not going to happen. You have a completely illegitimate presidency in both Obama terms. We knew that back then. We know it now. His brother has released the story. Look at the top of the homepage. You'll see it. It's all there. And you'll see a nice picture of Big Mike. His brother, Malik, calls him fake ass in terms of Barry. And that's a fair handle. It's all fakery. So look at the story. Understand. Fake president. First term, Obama fake president. Second term, Biden fake president. This term, so we've had three out of the last four terms have been fraudulent. And now Obama is actually Obama 3.0. He's running this one. And if you saw the story yesterday about the full head latex mask that Biden or whoever the hell it is was wearing, one of his body doubles, and there are two or three, this should be outrage. He should be being impeached. No, not going to happen. Not going to happen. People say, huh, wow, look at that. They've resigned themselves. They have accepted their fate. And believe me, with 80%+ shot up in this country, an awful lot of personalities have been changed for the worse. Biden's approval rating, not that it means a damn, is now, get this, in the negative numbers in 40 states. Negative. Not 10%, 15%. Biden's net approval rating, the share of voters who approve, minus the share who disapprove, is underwater in 40 states. And yet people just keep marching on. There's no great revolution in the so-called People's Congress of this country. This country is finished. Done. The people have failed. I'd like to blame everyone in Washington for it, but I don't. You can't do that. You have to hold the masses accountable for their lack of standing on the Constitution. In Russia, Putin's approval, 80%. Russia is what we used to be. How's that? Pretty incredible. All right, we are back tonight. We have a lot of information for you. My partner's standing by somewhere, or sitting by somewhere. Where are you? I mean, how are you? Are you there?
I'm right here.
All right. Did you finally get that damn Biden bumper sticker off your car? I know you were fighting with it last week.
You're right.
Erica lives in the communist northeast of this country, and it has really gone. It's over there. Done.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I still see Black Lives Matter posters, placards in people's yards. Not a lot, but, and then, you know, the Ukraine flag is...
It's still up.
Very prevalent.
Wow. Very prevalent. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Russians are losing and the Ukrainians are winning and we're going to win there and teach that evil Putin a lesson.
Right.
God, it's the absolute opposite of the truth.
I know it.
And that's... Well, I say it for the thousandth time. Anyone who looks at the big screen is being programmed, and the message is simple. This is reality. Or it wouldn't be on TV. Guess again.
That's right.
All right. We've been banging the drum, trying to warn people that they knew they were going to inject a lot of individuals, not only here in this country, but around the world, and they have. They've issued over 13 billion injections of this shit, and they have obviously killed scores of millions of people. We don't know how many, and hundreds of millions and ultimately billions are going to die and are in the process of dying. And we have been making that abundantly clear now for over 3 years. And hopefully, it has made a difference in a lot of your lives, and many of you have chosen to at least quasi-self-isolate. It's the only way. Why? Because of shedding, which right in the beginning, we said, look, why did they announce they were only looking to inoculate 80% or whatever they were saying, 70%? And the answer was, and I said it right here on the program, you can find it, they had another means of transfecting the unvaxxed. And that's through the process we call shedding. That is the spreading of the spike protein directly and the mRNA information packet directly, and probably other issues that we're not even fully aware of yet. We've done our very best to piece this together for you. If you've been listening, you have a very good understanding of what's generally happening. We don't have all the minutiae, but we have more than enough to issue a call for at least quasi-self-isolation if you want to have a chance of not being transfected and impacted by shedding. And we have a guest coming up in a few minutes who will talk about that. Shedding, the big secret in Act 3 of this horrible melodrama. That's your cue.
Oh, who? Me?
No, the other one. The other one there.
Oh.
The one behind you. God. Anyway, that's all. We just said it. And people still deny shedding. Not everyone. And I don't know what the national percentage of people would be who, vaxxed and unvaxxed, who understand that they are shedding, and the unvaxxed, that they are being shed upon and infected, transfected, contaminated, made sick, and not even knowing it. And how many people who have been injected are now not the same? We've heard that over and endlessly. Well, it's not the same anymore. My mother's not the same anymore. My husband's changed. They're not the same anymore. My kids, I do. It changes you. Something happens to the mind. We can kind of come close to describing what we think is going on. It's related to the spike protein, most likely, and other issues such as prions and so forth. But the brain has been changed in many who have taken these shots. And personally,
well, I would say too, the clotting that's occurring, the micro clotting, the starvation of the tissues of oxygen is yep. huge. I mean, this is causing a metabolic derangement that can result in a lot of these symptoms as well. When the brain doesn't have oxygen, it doesn't function very well. When the nerves don't have oxygen, you get numbness and tingling and paresthesias and maybe tinnitus, vision issues. The list goes on and on. The body needs oxygen to function. And when
think
it doesn't have
that.
It, you,
it, think it, about what it, she's
there's
saying.
Some comp-
your brain, spike proteins. In every capillary of your brain where there's a spike protein, you are, in many cases, no longer getting blood and oxygen to that part of your brain. That little teeny tiny dot, that little tiny spot in your brain dies. And enough of those little spots die, and you're not the same person.
Yeah, it's true. And then, with the iron that's being sequestered in these tissues as well, you're getting horrendous oxidative stress on top of it. And there are a lot of people right now who have been injected with this stuff that are becoming anemic. And the knee-jerk reaction is to go get iron infusions because of the inflammation will not allow people to absorb iron through the gastrointestinal tract when this is happening. It's called anemia of chronic inflammation. So they resort to injecting it, which is really bad, really bad. I mean, you'll feel good for a couple of weeks, 4 weeks maybe, and then you'll have to repeat it because the iron that goes in will eventually be sequestered into various organs and tissues. It leaves the blood, and it doesn't get recirculated or recycled like it should. So you'll need another iron infusion. And iron is toxic. It's carcinogenic. It's associated with all kinds of, accelerated aging, liver damage for one, but it can go on to damage all portions of the endocrine system, the pituitary gland, the hypothalamus, you know, the heart. Bad news. And these people that have resorted to getting iron infusions without trying to figure out why they need it are going to be in trouble. I would say in 6 months, they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What we're looking at here, and there was a little flurry of interest the other day when that story about the Deagle numbers was published on Daily Mail, I think it was, maybe. We have a really important section on the homepage for you on the right side. If you look over there, you'll see the Deagle section. It's right up near the top under Features. And there are some really good interviews in there with James Karolak. I've written to James. We may be doing an update on that now. But it's very important to keep those Deagle figures in mind when we're trying to analyze what's going on with this thing. And if, capital if, IF, if those numbers are reasonably accurate, the number of people who have been injected and who are clearly in failing health are going to fail all the way out in the next year, year and a half, 2 years. There are going to be a lot of people leaving us, I'm afraid. And no one is getting better to speak of. And I don't want to hear about dandelion tea and pine needle tea and detox. This is not a detoxing issue. That's good for your body in general, but it will not address a wickedly evil, multifaceted, and I mean big time multifaceted, biological weapon, which is what this injection is all about. It is a finely honed instrument that was deployed, and it is doing precisely what it was designed to do. So these are tough times, difficult times.
Indeed.
All right. Shedding. We had a young lady on the program some time back who had an encounter with her sister at her home. Her sister wanted to come visit. We'll let her tell the story again. And she did keep her distance from her sister as well as she could. Even though her sister was staying in her home, they'd go outside a lot to talk and chat. And then at the end, when the sister left, she gave our guest a hug, and our guest kissed her on the cheek. And we'll find out what happened. In case you missed that earlier program, there have been other instances of shedding that have really nailed this this guest. Her name is Cindy, and she's standing by right now. Hi, Cindy. Welcome back.
Nice to be back. How are you doing?
We're here. We're good. Thank you.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Erica.
All right. Now, tell us what happened when your sister came to visit. We'll keep it simple because we did go into this in some detail, your first visit. But when she was leaving and you had kept her at bay, so to speak, as well as you could, for about 4 or 5 days, as I remember it, and you gave her a kiss on the cheek when she hugged you. What happened?
Actually, she was here for 2 weeks. No, a week. She was here for a week.
A full week.
And,
okay.
I had kept my distance from her because I was aware of shedding. I knew that she was shot up. I didn't want her to come for a visit, but just because of family circumstances, my dad had passed away and, you know, my mom missed my sister, so I relented and said, okay. So I was doing fine. And then 2 days before she left, I thought, well, you know, I'll go spend some time with her. So we sat in the den and visited. And then I gave her a big hug and a kiss on the cheek. And that was that. And then I woke up the next day and I was not feeling well. And it happened just that quickly. And I didn't immediately think, oh, my gosh, you know, I've been spiked.
Right.
But I really didn't feel well. And from there, it persisted for 6 weeks. I was down for the count for 6 weeks.
Mm.
Did you tell her this? And what did she say if you did?
Well, no, I didn't say anything to her. As I explained when I was on your program before, I don't have a really honest relationship with my sister. she tends to have some anger issues and she lashes out a lot. So I kept it to myself. I knew full well once the illness progressed that's exactly what had happened, is that I had been spiked by my sister, but I didn't say anything to her. We got into it months later, in November, when she had called and wanted to come for another visit. And I just said, no, that can't happen because, you've been vaccinated. I got sick really sick the last time you were here. And she went ballistic and she wrote us off. She stopped talking to us.
Huh. Now, the reason she came to visit, and you mentioned your mom staying in the house with you, taking care of her. That was the
connection. Yeah, I take care of my mom, yeah.
Understand. That's why the sister wanted to come and visit. Now, a lot of you listening right now, vaxxed or unvaxxed, and we care about all of you equally, have decisions to make. If you're vaxxed, you have AIDS to one degree or another. VAIDS, they call it, vaccine-induced autoimmune deficiency syndrome. You have it. Your immune system is not what it should be. We'll keep it simple. So you need to make decisions about who you're going to hang around. And if you hang around the unvaxxed, they're going to be carrying a normal complement of viral and bacterial and other illness issues, other pathogens, which you may pick up and have no resistance to. So you've got to be careful about that. And the unvaxxed, as I've said a million times, don't want to hang around the vaxxed for obvious reasons, shedding being number one. Okay? So you both need to help each other, and you both need to recognize and respect decisions that you may not like. All right? The world has changed. Now, just keep it that simple. All right, so that was Cindy's first encounter with shedding. And how do you not, give your sister a hug back and give her a kiss? It's your sister. People do that. That's a human. That's what makes us special. Erica, anything you want to add to that? And we'll move to the next case.
No, go ahead.
All right, okay. That's number one. Number two, and Cindy has 3 stars now in her chart. So give us number two.
Okay, the second time. Well, actually, with my sister's visit, that wasn't my first ride at the rodeo. I had had several small episodes previous to that.
Ah.
Where I had been in public, I had been around vaccinated people, and it sort of started to develop into a pattern where I would be sick for maybe 2 or 3 days, and then it became for a week, and then it became for a couple of weeks, and it was, I wouldn't say mild, but just I'd feel really hungover, flu-like, and so I suspected it was from shedding.
So you did have a suspicion. Our partner.
Oh yeah.
This suggests a growing hypersensitivity.
Oh, indeed. Because as I say, it started off, just a couple days, and then it would go to 3 to 5 days, and then it was a week, and then a couple of weeks. So it had happened several times previous, which is why I was so nervous about my sister coming in the summer in the first place.
Okay.
But having said that, so I had my 6-week illness.
Let me get something from Erica here. This shows that Cindy's body was learning about the pathogenicity, the toxicity of the spike and the mRNA, at least. So it was growing, and her immune system was learning, correct?
I would say so. It was becoming sensitized, it appears.
Right. Okay, go ahead. So you had some advance warning, so to speak. So when sister came, you had built up your sensitivity, and without your knowledge, that she just, the transmission, the shedding transmission, just nailed you. Okay, we got it.
Yeah,
right, let's go to number two.
Okay, number two. So it was around end of October, early November, and I had to take our truck in to get some new tires on it. Mm-hmm. And I went with my mom. She went in a separate car, and then we had to wait because I didn't want to wait in the service station for it. So we went to an outlet mall. It was completely dead. There was no one in there. walked around there for about 45 minutes, went back to the service shop. The truck wasn't quite done yet, so I stayed inside for maybe 15 minutes. Got in the truck, came home. Next day, I got up. The same thing had started again. I was sick again. I had that hungover, flu-like feeling, and I thought, oh, gosh, here we go again. That one lasted, I think I got through that one pretty good. I think it lasted about 3 weeks.
Mm.
3 weeks. Okay. So there you go. You just go into an auto tire shop or whatever it was, and you sit in the office, in the lobby with others, and, you know, maybe room around you. You're not sitting necessarily next to someone, but whatever. You're in an environment which has been full of shedding materials, okay? We'll call it that. And she got nailed again. All right. So at this point, what does your husband and your mom say about it? You must have talked to them at great length about this. Do they understand shedding?
They do now. Yeah, absolutely. My husband knew all. I mean, we both knew very early on about shedding because we follow things very closely about what's going on with research, what's being said in alt news. We listen to your program, of course. So, yeah, we were very well aware of it. I don't think that either my mom or my husband doubt it, but I think there's a great deal of concern and frustration because it happens to me. And
got
it's
it.
Very long-lasting, and I think there's frustration that I just don't get better.
Now, I wonder, and I'm not hustling anything here, but Eric and I, as all of you know, wear masks whenever we go out and have to mix with the public to any degree. And I wear gloves as well. I think she's got a pair. And we wear around our necks the little personal unit from Valara. And it puts out a cocoon of positive and negative ions, which are very effective at neutralizing pathogens that come near you. They'll actually attach to them, these ions, and drag them down to the ground. And we have many reports of people who are very happy with the responses that they've been receiving by wearing these devices. So we think mask, gloves, and one of these devices is a bare minimum of what you should do if you have to go around other people. All right? It's that important. So I just want to mention that. All right. Let's go through door number three now. And no laughing from the audience. No laughing.
Sure, yeah. They're probably like, this is the dumbest woman in the world, but there you go. My most recent episode, I think it was about 3 months ago. And no, I didn't go to a big party or to a bar and have fun. I went to IKEA to buy a chair.
You went
I
to
was
IKEA?
In there.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You shopped online. You saw a chair. You like anybody else, any other consumer, you liked it. You wanted it for your home. And so what happened?
So I went to IKEA. I went with my mom. She's 84 years old. She has trouble with her knee, so she moves very slowly. And generally, to do any shopping, I drive my mom. She goes in the store because she seems to have no effects from shedding from anybody. I can't understand it, but she's just fine. But I wasn't about to let her loose in IKEA by herself wandering around in this massive place, so I went in with her. We were in for about 30 minutes. It wasn't busy in there. Bit of a bottleneck at the checkouts. So I was around some people at that time. I really tried to be cognizant of keeping my distance.
But no mask.
You know, no, I didn't wear a mask. I have asthma. I have a very difficult time wearing a mask.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, that's no excuse. I should do it. My mom always wears a mask, but I hate the darn things, and I'm just going to have to get used to that. But no,
all
I didn't
right.
wear a mask.
Okay,
felt
so you're
fine,
in line.
Came home.
Other people are around you. Okay, you check
yeah.
out. You get your chair.
Yep.
It's loaded in the back of the truck or car, whatever.
Yep.
And you snag your chair, and you're on the way home. And take it from there.
Yeah, I felt fine. Woke up the next day, had a really, really sore ear. Going down my eustachian tube toward my throat, and I thought, oh, gosh, I must have caught a bug, right? Like, I'm going to have, I'm thinking, oh, I hope I don't have strep throat. I'm going to have to go to a walk-in clinic or something, and I don't want to do that. That persisted for 2 days. So Friday, went to IKEA. Saturday, Sunday, the sore ear got worse on Sunday. Woke up Monday, no sore ear, but I was sick. Flu-like symptoms, severe headache, just general malaise, severe nausea, and I thought, oh dear, what now? Just a repeat, like I remember thinking, I feel like I've been irradiated, and I couldn't figure that out because I've never been irradiated before, and I just couldn't understand, why do I keep thinking I feel like I've been, like, somehow poisoned, irradiated, and that's exactly how I felt. It just a kind of sickness that I've never, I mean, I felt it in the summer to a certain extent after my sister was here, but it's just, I guess unless you've experienced it yourself, it's hard to describe, but I just felt like I had been zapped with some sort of a evil poison.
All right. Well, Erica, you've made the point about how exposure is, it's a mimic of radioactive poisoning, so to speak. Damage.
Yeah, I would classify this spike protein as a radiomimetic. It can do all of the same types of damage in terms of its oxidative stress and inflammation and damaging DNA that radiation can do. And I imagine that it's cumulative. I mean, each subsequent exposure could be a little bit worse.
I would think that's what we're seeing happen. In Cindy's case, it's a classic, a textbook case of someone who is just getting to the point where you cannot be around anyone anymore who's been injected. You can't. The other side of that coin is, if the uninjected, the pure bloods, so to speak, are being spiked, at what point do they become dangerous to be around? And that's a real issue. Further, we have issues of people who have been uninjected, who get shed upon, who generate, I guess, most of the classic symptoms of those who have been injected, right?
I guess some of them have acquired the smell, the hallmark smell, whether it's the fragrance.
Yeah. Yep.
And that can be just their own metabolisms breaking down from the spike. Once the spike gets into a person, you know, when it docks onto one of 20-something different receptors, it doesn't let go. I mean, ivermectin, I guess, is the one and only thing that's been proven, at least in some cases, to cause it to let go of whatever it has docked onto in terms of receptors.
What about
Once it's there, it's there, and you suffer the consequences until, you know, the body somehow deals with it. It probably depends on which organs and tissues it's locating to.
Right. Okay, so the unvaxxed, being around the vaxxed, have been victimized by clots, by strokes. I think we have one or two known fatalities. Yes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and these, again, these are anecdotal. They come from social media, but where else are we going to go? These are people telling their stories. So the point is that the vaxxed, it does seem, at least in some cases, are being passively vaccinated, injected with this bioweapon by virtue of being in contact with the vax. They're being shed upon and they are essentially vaxxed. That's what it seems like. And we can't prove that. So at some point, if you're around people who have not been vaxxed, who work around the vaxxed all the time, and who are beginning to manifest symptomology of the vaxxed, you want to be careful of them too. Just because they're unvaxxed doesn't necessarily mean you're home free in terms of self-protection. This is a very, very tricky, very evil, this whole thing. Bad news. What did you do, Cindy, to try to mitigate your symptoms? What approaches did you use?
Well, Well, this time around, when I had been, when I'd taken the truck in and I got sick really sick for the second time, I actually got myself some ivermectin. Now, wow. I live in Canada. I cannot get ivermectin, but I managed online to order 3 tubes of the horse paste. And I was holding on to it because I thought, you know, this is pretty precious. I want to save it. But at that point when I got sick this last time, I was 5 days into being sick, and I thought, okay, just pull the stuff out and let's start taking it. So I decided to take it for 3 days rather than just a single dose. I thought, I'm going to go for 3 days. And the first day I took it, I felt like brand new within an hour. I could not believe it. It was like a miracle. But that only lasted for that day. I got up the next day and I was quite sick. So I took a second dose, and that was a very difficult experience for me because I experienced severe epigastric pains, severe nausea, extreme fatigue, severe diarrhea, and some other things that I won't get into here, but it was sort of a frightening experience for me until I really sat and thought about it. Because I had had Lyme disease for 10 years and I was on intravenous, like I had a PICC line, so I was on IV antibiotics for 2 years.
Wow.
And it sort of dawned on me, you know, I bet you those things killed my gut microbiome. So maybe the ivermectin, which I took to counteract the spike, perhaps that was killing off a parasitic infiltration I had been carrying around in my gut, because I'd had gut issues for years after I had Lyme disease. So I figured that that's what it was. And I did some reading, and I found out that that was a pretty common thing if you have a parasite die-off. So I did a little more research, and I decided to use a protocol where I would go on the ivermectin for 3 days, go off for five, repeat for three, go off for five. So after my initial rounds, I did it 4 times in total. And every time I started to feel better. I won't even get into what I expelled from my body. It was really horrific. But every time I went through a round of ivermectin, it got better and better. And when I felt I was at the point where I had cleared out anything that was bad in my gut, in my intestines, I started in on probiotics to replenish the good bacteria in my gut. I also went on a strictly 100% organic diet, mostly raw, which is not the easiest diet in the world to eat, but I figured I needed to feed these probiotics, because why take them if they're not going to have food to eat and proliferate in my gut? So I've been doing that. I'm on my 3rd week. I've gone on to the niacin protocol of Dr. Dimitri Katz, and I've just been introducing things slowly. Like when I first went on the ivermectin, I went off all of my supplements, because I've been taking the NAC, the vitamin D, the this, the that, and I came off all of that until I cleared myself out. I've just been adding things back gradually and focusing on what my cells need to produce energy. So I've added in B12 because I have issues with that. I've added in the niacin. I've added in magnesium, and I'm getting better and better every day, but it's been a difficult journey. And it's taking a lot of work on my part. It's not an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, Erica, good for you. I mean, you're taking the bull by the horns and not going to be defeated by this.
I'm not. I have no choice, and I'm not going to give up. But, you know, I get frightened sometimes because I wonder what is in my body now. Like, I don't have cardiac issues. I don't think I have any problems with microclotting or clotting. I don't have any peripheral neuropathies. I don't have pain.
Good.
You know, I think my brain is still working pretty good. I don't think I've had personality changes. I don't really know what's going on in my body. I don't have access to any fancy kind of 3D, you know, vascular imaging technology or anything like that. So I'm trying to keep it simple. I'm trying to focus on, you know, not getting all concerned about micronutrients or grams of this or that, but just good, wholesome nutrition, listening to my body, getting very in touch with my body, what doesn't feel right, assessing it, saying, well, how can I address this? But it's, you know, I become a very introverted, selfish person in that respect because I constantly pay attention to what does my body need, what do I need to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're tuned
in. And it takes a lot of energy.
Yes, it does. Most people don't have that energy or drive to do it, so maybe you'll be an inspiration to many out there. That's what you
well,
have to do.
You know, I have bad days, too. I mean,
this.
I had maybe about three weeks ago, I had a Friday where I felt really good, and then I woke up on the Saturday and the Sunday. I was so sick. I literally thought I was going to die. I thought
like
this is it because something had changed. Mm-hmm. There's days when, you know, I still do. Some days I cry. Some days I'm like, I cannot believe that this could possibly be true. This is just too freaky. It's too horrific to actually wrap my head around that this is real.
What would you say to someone who is an honest doubter about shedding, who just poo-poo it and mock it and laugh it off? Maybe the
you
best
know,
thing
I,
to
in
say
a way,
is just,
I get,
good luck.
You know, in a way, I get it, because how could one possibly fathom that this could be true if they have not experienced it themselves?
Uh-huh.
Because, oh, you know, maybe Cindy, maybe it's just, it's psychosomatic because she, you know, she keeps up on the news and it's just, you know, she makes herself sick. Like, how could someone be sick? I've been sick for almost 3 months. How could someone be sick for 3 months? Not possible.
Right.
Well, it is possible.
Right, right. Well, okay. Thank you for sharing all this, and I would only suggest the obvious. If you're doing any more online shopping at IKEA, have it shipped to you.
Oh, I will. I think from now on I will. I don't go out anywhere anymore. You know, I stay in my home. And that's another difficult thing for people to deal with, too, is when your world becomes so small, like how do you build a life around not going out anywhere anymore? But I'm telling you, if you can adjust your attitude to find some positivity, it makes all the difference in the world.
Well, I like to keep it real simple. What's your life worth? What are you willing
Indeed,
to pay to have a healthy, reasonable life?
And, well, you know,
in
Jeff,
some cases like yours, you have to do what you're doing. And I'm essentially self-isolated. Erica is too. We just don't mix and mingle.
That sounds like a strange thing to say, but it's so true. And quite honestly, if I could never have that chair in my house and have had my health for the last 3 months, I would rather have had my health than this really nice chair that I have now. You know, I made the wrong choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's honorable of you to stand up and say that, and that's good. We do. We all make mistakes, okay? But if we learn from them, then it's a positive experience. And I'm trying to frame it in a way that's palatable for people. But if you learn from your mistakes, okay. If you don't learn, not okay. And Cindy has learned and paid the price. So I'm really grateful to her for coming on with Erica and I and sharing this. It's not easy, but it's the truth, and hopefully it'll help you. Erica?
Yeah, there's so many people that are floundering now that are suffering in this way, and I hope they can derive some benefit from, you know, your story and the things that you've done to try to overcome this. There's true suffering happening here. And I think one of the variables here that we've harped on it, but tends to be overlooked, is the interaction with this protein with the microbiome of people. I mean, people's microbiomes can vary widely, and there is research out there as of 2020 showing that the spike protein does interact with lipopolysaccharides from bacteria. These are components of a bacterial wall that if the spike protein comes into contact with, it will bind them and provoke the immune system in a very, very aggressive way. You know, it could be good if you're fighting something, but if there's nothing to fight, it's just going to make you miserable.
All right, last thing I want to mention, and we have to say goodnight, but we're not suggesting here that anyone take ivermectin on a prophylactic basis. Cindy, how would you weigh in on that? That's our thought.
I would agree. Like, choose your battles wisely. It's you know, it has effects. It's a medication. It's a pharmaceutical medication for a very specific purpose. Very specific purpose, and you don't want to mess around with that. Like, I still have a bit left, and I'm holding on to it. I'm not going to just take it to take it. You take it when you need it. Have it on hand. Use it wisely.
All right.
And I would add, too, be careful what other supplements you are taking with it, because ivermectin requires certain detox pathways that other supplements, primarily some of these isoflavones and polyphenols that people take, like quercetin, they compete for the same pathway, and that can cause the ivermectin to be infinitely more potent at a lower dose, and it can get into the central nervous system, and that's the risk with this medication. When that happens, that's not pretty.
All right. Well, like all pharmaceuticals, be careful. Do your research. And
yeah, do your research.
Perfect example of someone to listen to factor into your decision-making process. Keep it around. It can be a lifesaver, but it's not something that we recommend be taken prophylactically. Cindy, thank you very much for being here again, and continued get well success for you.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and thank you. And yes, I'm going to get better than ever.
All right, good. Attagirl.
Thanks, Cindy.
All right. Okay,
good night. Yeah. Good night. Okay, well, there's a lot to learn there. A gradual increase in sensitivity to these pathogens. We'll call it spike and mRNA for sure. Maybe other things as well. Coming off the skin, transfected E. coli bacteria. There are a lot of things. I'm not convinced that some of these smells shouldn't be a real warning to people that exhalation is nearby. Someone
yes.
who has been injected is exhaling, and that means there are dangerous toxins in the air to be breathed in. And if you happen to be hypersensitive to these things, anyway, if you smell the smells, use it as a warning light. And vacate the area. That would be our recommendation.
I would agree. I mean, the smells are an early warning signal.
They seem to be
and
more
those,
common,
you know,
too.
Are they're either the VOCs coming from the bacteria and the metabolites, or these aldehydes, formaldehyde being one of them.
Right. All right. Very good. We have about 5 minutes. Let's jump into some of our little chronicles here of real people in real trouble reporting real facts. What do you want? Where shall we go?
Let's see. Let's clean up some of them. What haven't we done?
April 12th, we haven't done rapid onset CJD. We haven't done, at the end, weight gain loss. Those two. At least that's what I see here. Number two
right.
in the last one, April
okay.
14th. Go ahead. CJD.
Oh.
Number two.
I'm April 14th?
Yeah. You see it?
No, I don't.
I beg your pardon. Let's try April 12th. Number two. Rapid
okay.
onset CJD.
Got it.
right.
My husband passed away Monday morning in Indianapolis from CJD. I had only heard those initials 2 weeks prior when I took him to Indiana University Methodist Hospital after exhausting all local doctors and hospitals for answers. We were promptly admitted and spent 2 weeks there until his passing. Our story is like so many of yours. It came out of nowhere, and life changed in a hurry. He started with brain fog in late February and went into a rapid decline. Unless you have lived it, there are no words to explain what happens. I am among those who understand. What I cannot figure out is how far back did this start showing up, and I missed the signs. He had been tired and sick for about 2 years. He was constantly complaining that his head didn't feel right. We assumed allergies. Did you see anything earlier symptoms? And what were they? So that's another one, 2 weeks from diagnosis to death.
Not good. Earlier we mentioned that, I think it was the first hour, cancer is increasing. That's an understatement. You read something about an ER doctor or someone
yeah.
in the ER room. What did you yep. What did you come up with there?
Oh, I can probably find it right here. It was in the comment section of one of Dr. Philip McMillan's latest videos.
Mm-hmm.
This person says, I was at a large dinner party last night discussing this very subject. One of the guests was an ER doctor who said the amount of people coming in with long-term breathing problems post-vaccine is staggering. Also, he's keeping track of the sharp rise in blood clots and subsequent strokes, heart attacks, and patients arriving in a sickly state who are found to have fast-growing aggressive cancers that are already in very late stages, out of nowhere. I have posted here about aggressive blood and lymphatic cancers exploding. I mentioned it to him, and he agreed with me. He's also hearing about this from various oncologists he knows.
Well,
yeah, hospitals must be very busy these days.
I can't even imagine the psychology of many of the employees
no.
in there having to work around this. As Nurse Ann told us long ago, when she trained, it was her goal to help people get better and go home and be healthy. And that's just not happening anymore. These people are not going home healthier. They're going home sick. They may be stabilized, but they're getting worse. Of course, that's what this
bioweapon
does.
Here's an interesting reply to that comment. Most doctors are seeing unusual patterns, but they assume it is COVID-related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Wow, aren't they on top of it?
Yeah.
Here's one last one from our other April 14th group. Has anyone admitted that they smell? I don't get it. We have not seen my parents in a long, long time, and it goes on from there. And the response to that is, my thought is that depending on what is in their dose of the shot, they may not have the ability to smell it. Some people on my Facebook page have blown up like balloons. Others have lost so much weight and aged terribly after injection. The skinny ones might have cancers, and of course, cancer suppresses the appetite. So there's another angle. So this person is talking about people aging. We've heard that so many times, and it's true. They look 10, 15, 20 years older in a year or two, 6 months even. Now the cancer issue. Diagnosis to death in 2 weeks. What does that tell you? That tells you that people are getting cancer and diagnosed at stage 4. How did they not notice? That's the question that would come to mind to most people. How do you not notice that you have stage 1, 2, 3, or 4 cancer? The fact of the matter is these soft tissue cancers are just that kind of a thing. You don't
well,
necessarily
yeah, you know,
have
cancer
overt symptoms.
Cancer can be 10 years in the making.
Sure.
And usually you don't detect it until you feel a mass or, you know, you might just feel tired or off, but there's no, no real indicators of cancer other than a tumor a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't surprise me that somebody could have leukemia and not know it. They would just feel off, tired, night sweats maybe.
Wow. All right, so here we are rolling into our third year with this bioweapon attack on humankind. America is targeted. Western European countries obviously targeted. Canada, New Zealand, Australia targeted. And if you go back and review the Deagle.com projections, you'll see a perfect overlay of Western decline in the face of these injections. It's spooky. Who did the Deagle numbers? William Deagle, who was Bill Clinton's Undersecretary of the Air Force. Obviously, deep state intel all the way. He put these together. I think they came out in 2013. I didn't see the numbers until 2017. Now they've been taken offline, but we still have them up at the site. You can find them over on the right-hand side. It's worth your look to see where we may be going here in the next 21 months. Okay, young lady, thank you. Another interesting program, as always.
Yes, that was nice to have Cindy on.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be back with Hour 3 in just a few minutes. Hang on.